He's hated us from the beginning. It was hate that drove Him to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I'm going to show you that if you are one of those that don't think He exists, He has already won. Let us hear His description in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20 and verse 1. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, the abyss, if you will, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon. There, the translator translated that word to dragon, but it's a very, very similar word to the next thing, that old serpent. So he's a dragon-like serpent. This angel grabs him. Which is the devil, Diablos, and Satan. And he took him and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. Oh, I'd like to shut him up. And set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations, the peoples, no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Somebody hates you. He is real. He is not omnipresent. He is not omnipotent. He is not omniscient. He's big, but he's not as big. He doesn't compare to the little toenail in our Savior. He has no competition. False religions have dubbed him the evil twin brother to Jesus. Total nonsense. His plan is to bring destruction and ruination to every family on the planet. His idea is to strip people of good sense and make them do foolishness so that entire countries are laid into poverty. He's been around for a very long time and he's hurt every generation that's ever been. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus says it this way. Jesus is in the midst of a battle right here. And he says, ye are of your father the devil. He's telling the religious hierarchy of Jerusalem, the high hats, the phylactery wearers. Ye are of your father the devil. And the lust or the desires of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He murdered Eve with his deception. That deception carried to Adam and to the next coming generations till we stand here today. He is the murderer. He is a criminal. He is diabolical. And he refused to abide in the truth. And abode not in the truth. At one time he had the truth and he chose to walk away from it. Because there is, are you there? Because there is no truth in him. Somebody say no truth. No truth. That means, well, Jesus says that. I might as well just read it. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He never tells the truth. One thing you know about Satan and the devil, he'll never tell the truth. He will never tell the truth. So when he's on your shoulder and telling you all these bad things about yourself, just know this, he's not telling the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus will tell you the truth. Jesus says, come unto me. Telling the guys yesterday. That's why it's not proper for us to ever cover our own sin. Because we got Jesus. We present our sin to Him. And we repent of it and let Him wash it away. He beguiled Eve so He could kill her. The devil heard God say, listen, if you eat of this tree, you will surely die. He heard it. And that's why he was there. That's why he was hanging around the tree. That's why he tried to make it, dress it up so it looked better than the other trees. And he sucked Eve to that tree so that she would walk by it. Why? So he could have some fun? No. So he could kill her. And because of that, mankind has tasted death. I have got news. I don't know if it's good or bad, but I've got news for you. This guy is still in business today. Behind every, and I mean behind every deception, he lurks in the background. Anytime anyone has lied to you, Satan is part of it. Lies are meant to hurt. That's why lying is, we see lying as a very bad thing. And I don't care if you're a governor, president, premier, whatever. If you're lying, you're coming out with the devil. Quit lying. And mankind has tried to overcome this beast, this animal, this old serpent, dragon. We have tried to overcome him for a very long time. And what we ended up with was lots and lots of failure. Failure, failure, failure. Adam failed and fell. Noah was one of eight people that were saved in an entire civilization. People are worried about the spotted owl. We should have been worried about the human race about then because it was about gone. Noah was righteous until after the flood. Then he decides to get drunk. And it's like, really? Failure. Abraham failed and produced Ishmael. Moses failed and was not allowed into the promised land. Jamie reminded us yesterday, well, he eventually got there because he showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration. David failed in the bedroom. Solomon failed with his many heathen wives. Great men and women have all failed down through history. But thank God, about 2,025 years ago, we live in a time when it is a little bit different. Glory to God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, speaking to Gentiles, hath He quickened together, made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. The law, written in stone, stands firm against us. Scott, you cannot measure up. Moses, you can't measure up. Aaron, you can't measure up. Joshua, you can't measure up. David, you can't measure up. Solomon, you can't measure up. You could put your name in there. Those ordinances stand. Thou shalt not. How many of them have we broken in our lifetimes? And they stand in condemnation against us. It was contrary to us. But somehow, some way, the Son of God and the Son of Man, He took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." What does that mean? He brought out of death
life. The ultimate triumph is life. The devil instituted death and his murdering of Eve and then Adam. But Jesus Christ has instituted life. That's why he had to be risen from the dead. He could not stay in the grave because Jesus instituted a great new covenant, and it is the covenant of life. The law leads to death because none of us can measure up, and God is a righteous God. But under the new covenant of the blood of the spotless Lamb of God, He has changed everything, and that we can become righteous in the sight of God. Anybody thankful for that? But there's still a battle. But this battle we can win. I tell you furthermore, we shall win it. We must be aware of the devil still. Let me tell you his favorite. To me, I see his actions around and what he does. I think he likes to magnify things. He might not be the cause of something. Something happens in my life, the rain falls on the just and on the unjust, but the devil will magnify it. It is bad, he will magnify the badness and make it seem worse than it is. He magnifies circumstances by deceiving people about the magnitude of something. You think your world is coming to an end. Somebody else walks up and says, well, what's your big deal? My world is coming to an end. What happened? I broke my fingernail. You're not getting quite the right perspective because the enemy is there telling you it's worse off than it is. If the doctor gives you a certain report on the way home, you say, well, my life's over. Destined for pain and misery. If your finances are tight, he's going to tell you, you're going to be destroyed. You're going to become homeless, transportless. You're going to be, everything's going to go wrong. Your wife's going to leave you because now you're Mr. Poor Guy. Nothing's going to work right. You are in the biggest trouble of anybody who's ever been born on this earth. You are in the worst financial plight ever, and you will never dig yourself out of this hole. You will constantly be under the weight of this debt and da-da-da-da. And he goes on and he goes on and he goes on. And he just keeps getting a bigger magnifying glass to magnify that problem. By the time you get home, I said, you want to kill yourself because you see no way out. That's what he does. If you have family issues, he tells you, listen, your whole family hates you. You're going to die alone. Nobody's going to come to your funeral. Your own children can't stand you. What's wrong with you? Why don't you end your life so you don't have to be messing with... And you can end your life and still be breathing. You can go in your own little corner and bemoan your life and quit living while you're still breathing. That's because he hates you. He wants to tell you, nobody loves you, everybody's forgotten you, you're all alone in this world and nothing will ever be the same and you'll never have any joy. He's lying. He's magnifying the lie. This enemy of yours, the devil, Satan, that old serpent dragon, he brings disappointment. He'll put in your mind to expect above what you should expect, and when you don't get it, you're disappointed. Listen, God's not that complicated. He deals straight with you. He doesn't blow you up in order to pop your balloon. But this devil, he'll get your expectations up. Now, please don't be offended, but I had a wonderful lady come in to my office, not in this church, but in my last church in New York. She said, now, Pastor, I think I'm going to win the Reader's Digest sweepstakes. I go, what makes you think that? She goes, I got this thing in the mail. I said, I'm one of the finalists. She says,
listen, Pastor, you need to know something. The first thing I do is I'm going to pay tithe on that. A week goes by, I say, hey, have you heard anything? Not yet, but I'm still in a... She comes in 2 weeks later. I'm in the finalist. She comes in a little discouraged. What's going on? She goes, nah, I didn't make it. The devil likes to get you your expectations too high so he can pop your bubble and say, yep, I knew it. He is the master of disappointment. Disappointment comes to all of us, folks. I've never been able to set my goals low enough not to be disappointed. But let me tell you, you let disappointment hang around, it turns into discouragement. Because the devil's not satisfied with leaving me being disappointed. He wants to move it into something like discouragement so that I can remember that either that mistake, that fault, or what someone did to me every morning when I get up, so that I'll have that on my heart and mind as I go through the day and as I deal with other people. If you let discouragement become part of your life, then another little neighbor will move in next to discouragement that the devil will bring with him to your house, and that is dismay. Disappointment will lead to discouragement. Discouragement will bring you and begin to live a lifestyle of dismay. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Might as well go eat worms. You begin to live a life of dismay. And you begin to think improper thoughts about what people are doing and saying and all of that. Let me tell you, if you let dismay into your living room and you let him find your lazy boy and sit in it, the devil's never satisfied with just making you a dismayed person. He wants to bring delusion into your life. And you'll suddenly begin to get a warped, perverted idea about people around you, your job, your family, and everything, and you won't be able to see straight. Now, he's got you on a deluded path. So he's doing all of this so he can kill you, my friends. Listen to me. And when delusion has its way with you, yeah, disappointment, discouragement, dismay, delusion, and then it ultimately leads to depression. And this is a lifestyle that you have to learn to bear up under each and every day, each and every hour. And listen to me carefully. It's all demonic. It all comes from hell. Jesus has never once said, listen, I want you to walk around depressed. I've got a doctor in our midst here that will tell you, he treats people like that every day. Depression is a great plague in this nation, is it not, Dr. White? It's a plague. It's in the church as much as it is in the world. It's a plague. And I am telling you, it doesn't get there by itself. And it doesn't get there because people want to be depressed or oppressed. They don't want to. They find themselves there. Why? Because disappointment set in, and devil brought discouragement in his briefcase, and then he brought dismay in his suitcase, then he brought delusion, and then finally you end up in depression. So all we have to do on television is make advertisements for people so they won't kill themselves. If you're a non-believer in Jesus, sonny, and you're living in this culture, you're in big trouble. We've never been so blessed. We've never been in such prosperity, but we have never been so depressed as a culture than right now. Dear brothers and sisters, the Lord has given us instructions on how to overcome so that we'll have no room in our life for disappointment. Don't nod your head, don't raise your hand, and do not stand. You ever lay in bed at night thinking, and the thought comes, you married the wrong person. Don't move. If you're a widow or widower, you might be able to nod your head, but the rest of us, My spouse has been such a disappointment to me. Discouragement, dismay, delusion, depression. My mother-in-law always said, divorce is for the rich. Most of us can't afford it. It's a luxury item. You ever lay in bed at night and say, where did that kid come from? How could I have that stupid of a child? I'll tell you that what thought never comes. Let me tell you what thought never comes. Oh, my grandchild is such a pain. That thought never comes. It's a trick, people. It's a lie, people. You don't have to be disappointed with your spouse. Just understand, they're not going to do what you ask them to do. He's not suddenly going to become Chatty Cathy. He's going to grunt. He might seemingly love his television more than you. It's not true, but it seems like it. He'd rather hold the remote in his hand than yours. To be disappointing? Yeah, you're not that great yourself. My Bible says, be content with the wife of your youth. He's looking for a crack. Ever become disappointed with your career? It's like, how did I end up here? I'm college educated. And I'm shoveling manure. What's something wrong with this? How did I end up here? And the devil will come in. He's got it in his briefcase. He's here, eat some of this discouragement. You poor fella. Everybody stepped on you. Nobody's been fair to you. Everybody gets promoted because they're brown-nosing the boss. You do your job. You get nothing. Here, have some more. Until you become so discontented wherever the Lord has placed you that you just want to get out. I'm sick of it. I quit. I give up. Never. That's all the liar. He's a liar underneath all of that. For the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And listen, if I've got to work for American Airlines, I've got to work for them. He's placed me here. I'll be the best I can be right where He's placed me. Not everything will be perfect. My marriage won't be perfect. My family won't be perfect. But I know the Lord is with me. Jesus is with me. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to start telling on the devil. See, the devil begins to lose battles with us when we come to Jesus. That doesn't mean the battle or the war is over. If he didn't leave Jesus alone, do you think he's going to leave you alone? 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be sober. Be sober. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for somebody to implant disappointment in. He's looking, and listen, the sad thing is, I've always said the devil doesn't play fair. He will attack your little bitty children. He'll use their siblings to do it to him first. He's looking for someone to what? Devour. How does he devour you? He brings disappointment, discouragement, dismay, delusion, and ultimately depression. But it doesn't say, 1 Peter 5 doesn't say, oh well, get on with it, try and survive. No, it says, whom, your enemy, we are to resist. Steadfast means at all times, steadfast in the faith. We know that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He hates everybody. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have fought for a while, after you suffered a while, He'll make you perfect. He'll establish you. He'll strengthen you. He'll settle you. He'll move the mountain. He'll make the mountains low and the valleys up. He'll get you through. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Hang in there. Resist the urge to get disappointed and discouraged and full of dismay and delusion, which leads to depression. Resist it in the face of Jesus Christ. The struggle is real. We must resist the devil and his temptations properly. Let me tell you something. If just say no was the answer, we'd all have it easy. It just simply doesn't work on that level. Remember when Nancy Reagan rolled out Just Say No program? They might have said no, but they still stuck the needle in their arm. Doesn't matter whether you say no or yes. If you're doing it, you're still doing it. And if you could say Just Say No to temptation, wouldn't that be wonderful? And that temptation would just, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to say that about her. And then the next words out of your mouth are not that. There are proven things that will allow us to resist the enemy. One, don't walk when you are under duress. Don't run when you are under duress. But run to the Word of God. When your soul is under duress, it's not the time to flee. It's time to stay. You run to the Word of God because the Word of God is a lamp under your feet and a light under your path. Don't waste time between your ears having a conversation with the hater of your soul. He's a liar. Waste time. Run to the Word of God. It's the truth that sets you free. Not bickering over lies. We must stay in fellowship with Jesus. And part of fellowship with Jesus is knowing His Word. If you have not made a practice of opening God's Word each and every day, I want to encourage you with everything that's within me. Because let me tell you, I know about your tomorrow. Tomorrow you will be disappointed. And if you don't let Jesus deal with that disappointment, it will turn into discouragement. And if you go along in that discouragement, pretty soon you'll have an attitude of dismay. It will turn into delusion. And then, my friends, you will be depressed. We must not only know the Word of God, but practice the Word of God. This morning here, that's all we're doing. We're not doing something far-flung. We're just saying, yeah, He is the answer. He's bigger than these little mountains that the devil has laid in front of me. He's bigger than that. He'll take care of it. Help us, Lord. Secondarily, praise the Lord in all things. The devil can't make you do anything. Flip Wilson was wrong. You have to be a certain age and what? Anyway. The devil can't make you do anything. What he does is bring suggestions. In your mind, he suggests all of these things. But he can't make us do anything. But we can drown out those suggestions by praising the Lord. If you are predisposed to melancholy, Some people are up. My dad was up. I don't know if he was really up, but he was an eternal optimist. And I often envied that because I'm not. My mother was more of a negative person, just to balance out. We needed it, trust me. And like my dad said one time, "Oh, Western New York is the greatest place in the world to live." I was like, "Dad." That's the way he was. Wherever he was, it was the greatest. It's not a bad idea. But if you're predisposed to a little... I always declare, listen, I'm a realist, all right? You optimists scare me. I don't want to be Mr. Negative, but I do want to be real. But listen to me. You better learn in your reality to praise the Lord. Because it's going to get better. If you're predisposed to melancholy, every day, listen, read my lips. Read Psalms every day. It's medicine to your bones. Read the Psalms. If you're discouraged and you're despondent and know what to do, get your psalm out and start to read. David had found, he wasn't perfect, but he had found a wonderful key. And that is, everything begins to change when I praise the Lord. Do it out loud so your ears can hear your mouth. I'm going a little long here. I got part two tonight. This is just part one. Well, we're going to pray tonight. We're going to have prayer time tonight, all right? It's come back tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll sing, we'll preach just a little bit, but we're going to pray. And God's going to hear. God's going to answer. Listen, if your mountain's not a molehill by the time you get here tonight, it will be by the time you leave. Glory to God. Because we're going to praise the tar out of this drop ceiling. Need some praise stains on it. We got some rain stains. We need some praise stains. I'll go on and hopefully wrap this thing up. Thirdly, learn how to plead the blood of Jesus. Over everything, plead the blood of Jesus. Whatever situation you're in, plead the blood of Jesus. We sang it. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Listen, the lyric says, it washes white as snow. And you all often think of sin. It washes everything. It will sanctify your situation. Plead the blood of Jesus over everything. Fourthly, pray, especially in the Spirit. Holy Ghost power not only resisted the enemy, but it overcomes the temptation to submit yourself to Him. It's hard to sin and pray in the Spirit at the same time. Hallelujah! Live in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We do not put enough emphasis on the fullness of the Spirit in our churches today. Preachers need to get back to preaching it. All right, I'm going to wind up. And I'm going to actually land the plane, not like some others that just like to circle the field. Stay in fellowship with other believers. There is something wonderful about having a problem and you share it with a friend and they have the same problem. There's something wonderful about it. You mean, I'm not the only one? No, you're not the only one. We're going to make this through. You're not the only family that's all messed up. You're not the only family who's got prodigals. You're not the only one. Are you kidding me?
I thought I was the only one. That's why you need to stay in fellowship with others, because they can pray for you. We can encourage one another. Just being around one another is a good deal, at least for most. Why we had church. You think we have church just to have church? We have church so we can come together under the banner of Jesus Christ, so we'll be different on the way out than we were on the way in. He was described in Peter as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Lions, as well as other predators, hunt by seeking out the young and the weak. That is why we protect our young. That's why we decide how they're educated, not the government. We decide. Parents and grandparents decide how my little one's educated. And if you're going to have your gender-bending stuff, I'm not going there. It might cost me a lot more money not to be there, but I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to endorse you. We have to protect our young. Often elephants will put the young in the midst. They'll be on the outside and the inside, the big elephants, and the little ones are in between. The devil is roaring, but he's looking for the weak. Once in a while, we're all weak. What that old devil does is he tries to isolate the weak one. And this is what he'll say. You have so many problems, nobody at church wants to hear your problems. They're going to see how sad you are. They're going to see that now that you're living in dismay and discouragement, they're going to see that. They're going to ask you what's wrong with you, and you're not going to have a good answer for them. So listen, just stay home. Stay away. Just stay away. I've been in full-time ministry for many, many years, and I've seen this mistake made over and over. The time when you need to be in church, you believe the lie, and you stay away from church. Oh, you sinned that week? That's the time to go to church. That's the time to make sure. Oh, I don't want to be a hypocrite. You're not being a hypocrite. You're just being a person who still needs a Savior to wash your sins away. Listen, I know about communicable diseases, all right? We're not interested in spreading them. But I'm telling you, when you possibly can get off the bed or the couch and get to the house of God, do it. Because when we're together, and we have prayer, and we're at this altar, the devil doesn't have much of a shot. But if he can convince me to stay away, do my own thing. How many have heard this? Well, I have my own thing with God. Yeah, and you're going to lose. Man did not create the church. God created the church. He made us for each other. Fitly joined together. Every member fitly joined together to make something very great and wonderful. And so when one is weak, we go down and we grab their hand and help to pull them up with Jesus. They know, we're going to make it. We're not going to let discouragement get you down. We're going to get over this thing and we're going to make it through. The devil's waiting for you to be separated from the herd. Then he'll pounce and really attack. You see, when you are alone, his lies carry more weight. When somebody isn't there, say, well, that's a lie. That's a lie. You have a friend, a brother, a sister in Christ, or somebody in your family, you tell them, that's the way I'm feeling. They say, well, you believe in a lie. What do you mean? That's a lie. It's a bold-faced lie. And then you can be convinced that he's a liar and you can start getting worked out and overcome. Every suicide is a decision made alone. No, I shouldn't say everyone, because sometimes people have packs together. But listen, the devil wants to get you alone so he can kill you. And if he can get you to hang yourself, all the better. Please, I beg you, do not be too proud to ask for prayer. I beg you, don't be proud to ask for prayer.
I don't care what your title is. I don't care if you're the poobah, highly exalted poobah of the water buffaloes. Don't be too proud to ask for prayer. James 4:7 says, Tim, come, please. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I've described to you how to resist him. What matters is whether we'll take it to heart or not and actually do it. Instead of getting angry, why don't you praise the Lord? Instead of getting discouraged, why don't you say, you know what, the Lord's gotten me through all these things before. Let's praise Him, and I think He'll get me through this. Run to the Word of God. Get the answers out of your Word of God. The Bible has every answer that you need. I had a liberal chaplain deal with me. And he was the chaplain over a large psychiatric ward at Buffalo. And I said, I wanted to come and minister to people there. And he says, why? I said, because Jesus is the answer. And he said, well, why we're here is to figure out the question. Okay. Okay. There's not much resistance there. Resist the devil. Are you there, James 4:7? I'm not reading out of the Reader's Digest. I'm not reading out of an almanac. I'm reading out of your Word of God. And it says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Jesus did it in the wilderness after 40 days of fasting. And it says in my Bible, when he was done, he left him. Gone. He cannot stay. To sprinkle every meal you have with discouragement cannot stay. Don't say this in your heart this morning. I've tried it before and it didn't work. Baloney. That's nonsense. God's Word doesn't lie. I said, God, if you do this and resist Him, He will flee. We must never come into agreement with the devil. Never. We never must nod our head and say, okay. Not once. We must never agree with the devil. Ever. About your family, about your health, you do not agree with the devil ever because he's a liar. We must oppose him at every opportunity. The devil cannot stop you from being saved. If you want to get saved, he can't stop you from getting delivered. If you want to be delivered, he can't stop you from having peace in the midst of chaos. If you want peace, if you want something from God, you can get it if you want it bad enough. If you say, I will not accept the lies of the enemy. Maybe you are under duress today. I beg you, do not believe the original liar, but believe the truth. And the truth is this, my dear believers, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Exclamation point. Would you stand together with me? Ushers, you can go to the doors and don't let anybody out unless they just kidding. Maybe you're under duress. Disappointment has come to your door and brought the whole gang with them. The Holy Spirit dropped this on me this week in 1 minute. He just dropped this whole thing on me. So this is it. You have heard the word. I can't make you do anything. But the Holy Spirit in you will teach you how to resist the lying murderer that still roams around. We shall overcome. Jesus rewards the overcomer. Read Revelation chapter 2 and 3. He requires us to overcome. He's given us the ability. I'm going to pray for us now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for everyone that's under duress, under pressure. Pray for everyone who's, quote, stressed out. I pray for those that have been disappointed. Some of them have been disappointed for a long time and it's crept into discouragement. There are others that are just plain discouraged here today. There are others that have welcomed a lifestyle of dismay and trying to survive. They're under the delusion that everyone hates them, that they'll never get over, that they'll never grow in Christ. And they're on their way to a life of depression. Holy Spirit, speak to their hearts, speak to their minds, that that's not the way it is at all. For greater is He that is in me. I've got the mountain mover in me. I've got the victory ahead. It's in me. I don't have to go get it. It's in me. I've got the one that will make a way where there is no way. In me. Lord, plant it deep in our soul and cause it to produce much fruit for Your glory and Your honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. We'll see you tonight.